common English phrases that have their roots in the King James. So let's go there, Joshua chapter 23, and continue our journey from Genesis to Revelation, looking at all the common English phrases with their origins in the King James Bible. It's fun to be able to say that, isn't it? No other version can say that because they weren't around. It's amazing that when you think about it, in a church history perspective, we've had 2,000 years of the church, right? Well, 400 of those years we've had the King James. But it wasn't until about 70 years ago that there was anything but the King James that people used. So 70 years compared to 2,000 years. So no other version can say, oh, it came from our version. No, but the King James can make that claim because it's been around for 410 years now. So this is a fun study, just walking through the scriptures, looking at all these phrases that come from the Bible. So Joshua 23, verse 13. We'll look at this one and then we'll pray and get started. But it says, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you. That phrase, know for a certainty, has become a common English phrase and has its origins in the King James. So let's pray and get started. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege of meeting for Sunday school and pray you'll just continue to teach us from your word. And Lord, that these sayings will be a help in witnessing and in having a greater appreciation for the word of God that you've given us and preserved for us. So guide us and bless our time in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. That's the only one in Joshua. So let's go to Judges. Judges chapter 5. And I'll start passing out some scriptures for people to read. So I'm going to shake things up and start on this side. How about that? Judges 5:20, Kelvin, if you could read that. And Judges 5:25, Brad. Do I have any other volunteers on this side before I move on? Jackie, maybe? You willing to read? Okay, Judges 14:14. Any others over here willing to read before I move on? Don't be shy. Okay, how about in the center section? I know Mark and Roy are willing. Any others? Maggie, 14:18, if you would. Roy, 15:8. Mark, 16:6. And Jim, 17:6. We'll start there. So, just Judges 5:20. So, the stars in their courses comes from the Bible. And then Judges 5:25. Butter in a lordly dish. One of those old English sayings. And then 14:14. Out of the strong came forth sweetness. Again, another saying that comes out of the King James. And then Judges 14:18.
And the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, if ye have not found my husband, ye have not found out my root.
This verse actually has two common English sayings. One of them is sweeter than honey. Very common. And plowed with my heifer. So we don't need to go into the details of what that means, but that's Samson speaking about Delilah. And as we know, Delilah wasn't the greatest example. All right, 15:8. Smote them hip and thigh. Mark, I'm going to give you a different one because the one I gave you was just the name Samson. And yes, Samson has become a saying, right? that's talking about someone with amazing strength. So if you would do 17:6 instead. 17:6, yep.
In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes.
Right in his own eyes. Another common saying. And then, Brother Scott, if you could do 20 verse 8 of Judges. 20 verse 8.
And all the people arose as one man, saying, we will not any of us go to his tent, neither will we any of us turn into his house.
As one man. Very common saying. In other words, talking about the unity in a crowd as one man. And then Joshua 20:16. Any other volunteers on this side? Okay, so we'll start over, but I'll read 20:16. Let's turn there. Among all his people, there were 700 chosen men left-handed. Everyone could sling stones at an hairbreadth. So an hairbreadth is another common English saying. How much is that, Brother Doug? How many microns is that? Maybe 5 microns. But an hairbreadth. Mark, how many microns is a hairbreadth? Who knows, right? Depends on the hair. Some people's hair is thicker than others. Anyway, it's talking about these guys were super accurate with their slings, but hairbreadth has become a common English saying. So that's up through Joshua and Judges. Thoughts or questions? Anything you can think of that I missed, Brother Mark?
Yeah, it's a will for no symptom and Delilah. Those two words are
true. I should have pointed out Delilah as well. Just like we pointed out the name Jezebel. It's become a meaning right behind the name. Delilah's the same thing. Any others? Then let's dive into the Samuels, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 8, Kelvin, and 1 Samuel 4:20. We won't do that one. 10:24, Brad, and 14:13, Jackie. We'll just stop there for now. So 1 Samuel 2, 8. So the pillars of the earth, very common saying, and actually I think there was even a movie named that. I wasn't going to have anybody read it, but 1 Samuel 4:21 introduces the name Ichabod, another one of those names that carries meaning. The name Ichabod meant that the glory has departed, but Ichabod has become a negative phrase, meaning that very same thing. And then 10:24. We've all heard that one. God save the king. That was in the King James 410 years ago. And then 14:13. That's 14:13. In the Jackie version. Well, okay, so it means I wrote the wrong reference. But it's an important one, so we need to find it. The saying is a man after his own heart, which has become a very common phrase. And it's talking about David. Okay, I had the two numbers backwards. So it's 13:14 instead of 14:13. These things happen when you're old. Yeah, 13:14.
But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, and his heart is not too fit to be his command.
So, of course, God here is referring to David, but this saying, a man after his own heart, has become a very common phrase. Someone after your own heart. We won't read the story, but the phrase David and Goliath, that's become a common saying. The little man against the big man, the little company against the big company. It's just become a very common saying to say David and Goliath. And when you say it, people immediately know what you're talking about. Someone small going against someone much bigger. So that's... And then another one in 1 Samuel 20, it's like David and Jonathan. Another common saying, talking about an amazing friendship. Now the world's tried to twist that, but they were not homosexuals, but they did have a friendship love that David himself said was, well, we'll see what he said about it. But anyway, the phrase David and Jonathan, talking about an amazing friendship between men primarily. And then 1 Samuel 24:14, where are we? Maggie. And then Roy 25:37 and Mark 26:21. So 24:14 of 1 Samuel. A dead dog. Common saying. And then 25:37. So the phrase isn't in the Bible, but the phrase heart of stone came from this story. Remember, Nabal was the very churlish man whom David and his men, when they were on the run, would have killed if his wife Abigail had not come out and cooled down the situation. And David ended up marrying her after Nabal died. But a heart of stone. Nabal had a heart of stone. And then 26:21.
Then said Saul, I have sinned. Return my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, but my soul is precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool, and have erred exceedingly.
Played the fool. Very common saying. All right, 31:5, Brother Jim, if you could read that. And then we'll go to 2 Samuel. So 1 Samuel 31:5.
And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died.
Fell upon his sword, which has come to mean basically quit or gave up, but also means chose to die honorably. It has all kinds of meanings behind it. But back in Bible days, Old Testament Bible days, they knew they were dead anyway because he'd been wounded, and better to die by your own sword than to have the enemy torture you. So they would fall on their sword. It just become a very common saying. Okay, 2 Samuel 1:19, Brother Howard, and 1:26, Kelvin, and 14:3, Brad. So, 2 Samuel 1:19.
The beauty of Israel is slain upon thy high place. How are the mighty fallen?
How are the mighty fallen? Another common phrase. And then I mentioned 1:26. Did I hand out 1:26? I didn't need to. But, okay, go ahead and read it. So exceeding the love of a woman or passing the love of women, this is where the phrase came from the amazing friendship that David and Jonathan had. This is him lamenting Jonathan's death when Jonathan and Saul were both killed in battle. And then 14:3, did I give that one, Brad? Put the words in her mouth or put the words in his mouth. We all know what that means, but again, that's become a very common saying. And then in chapter 18 of 2 Samuel, the phrase, an Absalom, talking about someone who is sneakily trying to steal away the leadership or the hearts of the people from the leadership. Absalom, being David's son, tried that very thing, did he not? He was good looking. He had beautiful hair. And he did it very subtly. He would just stand at the door and say, "Oh, if you would have just come to me, I would have given you a better answer." He slowly stole away the hearts of Israel to the point that David then had to flee for his life, which was extended punishment for David's sin, of course, with Bathsheba. But an Absalom, that's saying an Absalom. So that's the Samuels. Any thoughts or questions up through the Samuels? All right, let's do the kings. Jackie, 2:2, 1 Kings 2:2, and Maggie 4:34, and Roy 10:7, and Mark 12:11. So Jackie 2:2. So actually, there's two phrases in this little verse. The way of all the earth, or the way of all flesh, or the way of all men. Talking about going to the grave. But then, show thyself a man has also become, in other words, take a stand and act like a man. Or man up. We've all heard these phrases before. And then 4:34. So the wisdom of Solomon has become just a saying, meaning an exceeding amount of wisdom, the wisdom of Solomon. And then 10:7. So this is the Queen of Sheba coming to see for herself. All that she had heard about Solomon, and the saying, "The half was not told me," has become a very common saying. In other words, not even the half was told me. In other words, it's so much more than I thought it was. And then 12:11. Did I give that one out? Yep.
"And now where is my father who laid you with a heavy yoke, or add to a yoke? My father hath chastised you,
so chastised with scorpions." In other words, major chastisement, right? This was when Solomon's replacement was contemplating whether to follow the advice of the old men or the young men. And he chose the young men. And then, we won't turn there, but again, in 1 Kings 16, just the name Jezebel. Actually, about a month or two ago, I met someone named Jezebel. It was the first time in my whole life that I've met a female named Jezebel. I would have thought nobody would ever name their child Jezebel. I forget the context, but I was kind of shocked. Maybe they don't know the Bible. Anyway, the name Jezebel says a lot, doesn't it? What's that?
Maybe Rahab.
Yeah, Rahab's okay, but Jezebel? Yeah. All right, so, and then in 1 Kings 17, there's the story of the widow's cruse, which has become a very common saying, and we know that story from Elijah. All right, 1844, how far did I make it? Over here, Howard, could you redo 1844? And 1846, Brother Jim, please. So 1844.
"And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, Behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not."
So as little as a man's hand or as little as a man's fist, it's become a saying. In this case, it was talking about a cloud. Remember, Elijah was essentially waiting to hear from God while he was hiding out in the cave from none other than Jezebel. And he wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in all these other things, but he was eventually in the still small voice. Oops, I just gave one away. 1846, Brother Jim.
And the hand of the Lord was on Elisha, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel.
So girded up his loins, a way of saying he got ready to go and fight or run or whatever, but girded up his loins. And I already gave it away, but in 1912, a still small voice, where Elijah heard God in the still small voice, which is what we should all be listening for, amen? But it's become a saying, a still small voice. All right, let's move on. 22:27, Brother Kelvin, and 22:34, Brad, and 2 Kings 2:11, Jackie. So 22:27, Kelvin. First Kings 22:27, yes.
And say thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace.
So the bread of affliction, the bread of adversity, but that's become a saying. And then 22:34. So, drew a bow at a venture or at a venture. It's a way of saying by chance, basically. He just shot the arrow and it happened to go in between the folds of the of his armor. So he basically took his best shot. But that at a venture, that's what it means, or drew a bow at a venture. All right, and then 2 Kings 2:11. Chariot of fire, or chariots of fire, has become a saying. It's more of a story, but in 2 Kings chapter 9, some of you will appreciate this one. There was a watchman, and they saw someone driving a chariot back to the castle, and he said, he's basically driving like Jehu. And that's become a saying talking about people that drive like a maniac. I'm sure there's none in this church, but anyway, driving like Jehu. And then again, in 2 Kings 9:30, if you want to turn there, when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her face. So a painted Jezebel. It means trying to cover up the true character with face paint, if you will.
Is it makeup?
It can be. But I don't think in this case it was makeup. I think she was actually trying to disguise herself. But a painted Jezebel, it means trying to paint over a person's character by putting a facade on the outside to try to say that they don't have bad character. Does that make sense? They painted Jezebel. All right, let's move on. 2 Kings 10:1. Maggie, if you want to do that one. And Roy 18:21. And Mark 19:30. So 10:1, Maggie. I gave you the wrong reference. Again. Sorry. I hate it when I do that. The saying is set thine house in order. But I obviously missed a number somewhere. So if anybody has a really good concordance on their phone, find that for us. It's God talking to Hezekiah. And the Lord says, set thine house in order. And we all know that that's become a common English phrase.
Could you
Which one?
It's
20 verse 1, not 10 verse 1. Sorry about that. So 20 verse 1. Set thine house in order. Well, I should give you another one then. Hey, Maggie. I'll give you 21:12. Why don't you go ahead and read that one? His ears shall tingle. We've all heard that one, haven't we? Ears are burning. Yep, same thing. Okay, 18:21. Did I hand that one out?
Now behold, I trust that if I'm the staff of this produce for you, even if I'm Egypt, a man in me will go with his hand and pierce it, so his Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to all that trust on him.
So a bruised reed, another common saying, and then 19:30.
And the remnant that has escaped of the hill of Judah shall yet again take root inward and bear fruit outward.
So two sayings in that one. Take root and bear fruit. Very common English sayings. So that takes us through the kings. Thoughts or questions? Things that maybe it brought to mind that we missed? Anybody? So we've already done over 100.